So I know we've been on break for a bit, but hopefully commensurate with the quantity of time that we had to wait will be the quality of the content. We'll get into chapter 16 of Tehillim, chapter Tes Zayin. So you could pull that out on your phone, or if you have a Tanakh on you. If not, then you could just listen along, because I'll be saying going through each verse. But chapter 16 was one of Rabbi Nachman's favorite Tehillim. It was a top 10 for him. And as we go through the piece, you'll see why it's such a deep Tehillim, why it made it to Rabbi Nachman's top 10 list. We'll start off Tehillim chapter 16 with the first verse, which starts off Michtam LeDavid. Now, Michtam comes from the language of Mich and Tam. Mach is modest, Tam is flawless. And the commentators say that the Tehillim starts off Michtam LeDavid, this modest and flawless David. Why? Because when King David was young, he was very comfortable with himself. So he was fine to learn under people that were really great. And just, he recognized, I'm a child, this is my time to learn, and I'm going to absorb all of the content being divulged by these people that are older. And the commentator said that even when King David got old, he still maintained this quality, where even when he was crowned king, he was able to make himself small. He was mach, he was modest. And because he was modest, he was tam, he was complete. He was flawless, and he was modest, and he was always able to learn from others. So that's why it's Michtam LeDavid. Another idea of why it's called Michtam LeDavid is because it comes from the language of Makaso Tam, that his wound was perfect. And the commentators say that King David was so perfect, it was as if he was born circumcised. He never needed circumcision. He was perfect that way. Now, Rashi says, these ideas are nice, they're true, but there's a time and a place for everything, and this is not the time or the place for explaining what Michtam LeDavid is. Here it means something totally different. What does Michtam LeDavid mean? So Rashi says Michtam is a type of melody. That's one idea. And this is just the melody that King David composed while he was writing the psalm that we're going to get into. And another idea is that Michtam comes from the language of Atara, which is a crown. And it refers to this very royal, nobility. It refers to regality. So Michtam LeDavid is this great regal melody that was composed by this great regal, yet modest, scholar who was King David. Okay, then the verse continues. Shamreni kel, watch over me Hashem, ki chasisi vach, for I seek refuge in you. So what this verse is saying is Shamreni kel, King David is saying, Hashem, watch over me, protect me. And on what merit, on the basis of what merit should you watch over me, should you protect me? Because I trust in you. That in itself is enough that you should protect me. Just my mere trusting in you that you protect me. Okay, then we get into the next verse, which is Umarta LaHashem, Hashem Ata. I said to Hashem, you are my God, you are my benefactor. Tovasi Balalecha. There is nothing above you, and all of my good comes from you. So it's the same way. One of the reasons why we wash before eating bread is that you have 39 malachos. You have 39 things that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. And the first 11 are called Sidura Depas. They're the process of making bread. And it's easy to think when eating bread, it's easy to delude ourselves into thinking that we are in control of the process of making bread. We do the plowing, we do the planting, we do the reaping, the gathering, the winnowing, the threshing, the selecting, the grinding, the kneading, the sifting, the baking. I think that's 11 I named right there. We do that entire process. It's very easy for us to think that we are in control of the bread process and that we're in control of whatever process we do in life. So when we wash our hands before eating bread, we're cleansing ourselves of that entitlement, of that haughtiness that we get from thinking that we're in control. So King David is saying here, Tovasi Baalecha, my good comes from you. I have good, I have kochos, I have strengths. There are things that I'm good at. But I recognize that it's all coming from a higher source, and that is Hashem. That's like, there's a verse in Devarim that says, V'umarta b'vavecha, one time you'll say in your heart, Kochi the otzem yadi, my strength and the greatness of my abilities, usali. It allowed me to create these things. It allowed me to do all these amazing things in the world. And at that point, at that point, you should remember Hashem, because he is the one that gives us the strength to do whatever we do. And that's what King David is recognizing here, that all of his abilities, all of his kokos, they all come from Hashem. And I was even thinking about this. I was thinking about recently. I was like, oh, I love Shlomo Carbach. Very good music. And then I realized I should thank Hashem, because Hashem gave Shlomo Carbach the power to create such good music. It wasn't Shlomo Carbach. It was just the strength that Hashem gave him. So that's verse 2. Then you go to verse 3, which I'm very excited about. It's a very neat verse. And on a surface level, for years, I would read through this verse, and I thought, eh. And then once I started delving into it, I saw the power of this verse. So first, David HaMelech makes two bold statements. First, he says, Hashem should watch over me. Why? Ki chazisivach, because I have hope in him, because I depend on him. And on the basis of that merit, Hashem should protect me. Then he says, all of my good comes from Hashem. These are two very bold statements. How does David HaMelech know this? How does David HaMelech know that there's this higher power that he could trust in that will protect him, this higher power that gives him all of his good? How does he know it? And verse 3 answers that question. It says, Aligdoshim asher ba'aretz, as to the holy and righteous individuals who've preceded and predeceased me, the adir kol chatzivam, through their sake my desire is satisfied. So there are two points that King David makes here. The first is that you have holy, righteous individuals, you have these tzaddikim who believe in Hashem, and through the merit of the tzaddikim of prior generations, David HaMelech is saying to Hashem, I should be blessed from you. Like when we say, Bizchos Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we should have good. That's what David HaMelech is saying here. And the second is that King David is saying that the validity and the rationality of his dependence of Hashem stems from people much greater than him. So there's this article by Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, where he says that in his teenage years, He was troubled by certain ethical questions, whether it was related to Amalek, whether it was related to Ir Hanidachas, just different laws that he was, different ideas in Torah that he was very bothered by. He was very troubled. And he said one thing that gave him strength, one thing that allowed him to move forward in his commitment to Judaism, was he heard a story about Rav Chaim Brisk, Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, who would wake up in the middle of the night and there would be a baby at his doorstep. And he said, if such a paragon of chesed, a person that was so kind, that had a reputation for such chesed, was able to grapple with these laws, then Rav Aaron Lichtenstein said, that's good enough for me. I believe in God. I believe in the ethics of the Torah. If Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik believed in it and he didn't struggle with this, then I don't need to. And on the contrary, it's not my great sensitivity that precludes me from having a full commitment to the faith. It's really just a weaker faith. So it has nothing to do with the Torah. It's just myself. He gaslighted himself. Then Rav Aaron Lichtenstein continues that there were points where he had certain historical, he had certain theological, certain textual issues that vexed him. And he said what kept him to keep going in his Judaism. He said there were three people. There were his three rabbis, Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, and Rabbi Huttner. And he said these people were much, much smarter than me. And the fact that they believed in Hashem was enough of an excuse for me to believe in Hashem. That in itself validated, that in itself rationalized belief in Hashem. If they believed in it, and they were very smart people, they knew a lot of Torah, they knew a lot of secular studies, they believed in Hashem, that's good enough for me that I believe in Hashem. And that's what King David is going for here. He's saying, Tovasi ba'alecha, my good comes from Hashem. How do I know this? Because people much smarter than me believe that. So that's enough for me to believe that my good comes from Hashem. And how do I know Hashem is going to protect me? Because people with much greater emunah, people much smarter than me believed in Hashem. And that's enough of a pretext that I should believe in Hashem too and know that all of my good comes from him and know that he will protect me.
That's sort of like education. You know, certainly Jewish education, but all education. Like, you have to trust that the teachers know something of what they're talking about. And then, you know, you hopefully internalize like the belief system and the ideas and so on and so forth. So
right, that's kind of like I forget if I shared this idea before, but if it's not worth hearing twice, it's not worth hearing once either. But the Sridei Eish, Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg and David Ben-Gurion were on good terms. They were like friendly in their youth. And one time the Sridei Eish said to David Ben-Gurion, that the Chafetz Chaim would have made a very good prime minister. And David Ben-Gurion said, I get it. The Chafetz Chaim was smart, and I know that he was very righteous and holy and all that, but like, he didn't know anything about like politics, economics, social things. Like, he just didn't know any of this stuff. And the Sridei Eish said, no, you don't understand. It's because the Chafetz Chaim was such a clear thinker, because he wasn't influenced by anything external from the Torah, that he would have All the president does is delegate. You have advisors, they tell you what to do, and then you make a right decision. The Chafetz Chaim would have come to very good decisions. And that's why, like, a lot of times we say, like, why do we trust our Rebbeim for certain things? You trust your doctors for certain things, and on the basis of trusting the doctors, because they have an intelligence, even though I don't know all the science behind it, okay, so I can trust the rabbis, I can trust the tzaddikim, I can trust the chachamim, that they were smart people, and they were very holy people, and they believe in it. Okay, so that on that basis, I believe. And on that basis, I'll trust in Hashem.
Hey, Jared, also, I've been thinking since the first Pasuk, just so much about the hostages, like how every single one of them, as they're coming out, they really were trusting in Hashem, and he was really protecting them. And these were not super religious people going in.
That's such a good point. Yeah, some of these hostages, they were really not religious, and they come out and they're religious. Like, what, like, you didn't have, like, so many, you know, you didn't have Sfarim and Rebbeim in tunnels. Like, where'd you come from? And like, from? And if these people who experienced such lows in life also had the ability to believe in Hashem, then, like, I could believe in Hashem, too. Because people who have experienced much, much worse than me have also believed in Hashem. And that's enough faith for me. So that in itself, that's a strength of, that's a source of chizik. Same thing, like, when you hear, you know, kol de'avdin rachmano latava avdin. Rabbi Akiva says that everything that Hashem does is for the best. And you think, you know, that's something that some privileged person says. But Rabbi Akiva saw 24,000 of his students die. He saw the destruction of the temple. He grew up impoverished, illiterate. His father-in-law hated him. He got married late. He had a very hard life. And that's somebody that says, kol de'avdin rachmano latava avdin. So that's enough. If Rabbi Akiva can say that and he's experienced the lows, then I believe that everything that Hashem does is for the best. I could trust that. When the 6th and 7th Lubavitcher Rebbe say, tracht get vet zayin good, think good and it will be good. And they did not have easy lives. Oh my God. The Lubavitcher Rebbe had a brother that was murdered by the Nazis. The Lubavitcher Rebbe's parents couldn't come to his wedding. He couldn't have children. And his father-in-law didn't have an easier life either. He saw some of his children murdered in the Holocaust. He was imprisoned in Russia. He did not have an easy life. And if he's able to say, tracht get vet zayin good, think good and it will be good, then I believe them. I trust them because they've experienced much worse than me. And they believe in Hashem and they believe in the good of the world. So yeah, that's a very good point. Okay, we'll move on to the next pasuk. Now we'll go on to pasuk Dalet, which is Yirbu Atzvosam Acher Maharu, which is King David saying, may those who gravitate toward a different God, toward Avodah Zarah, may their sorrows increase, may their sorrows abound. Uval Asich Niskeim Midam, and I will have no part of their bloody libations, id est, and their ritual offerings to their gods. Uval es shmosam al svasai. And I will not bear their names on my lips. I'll have nothing to do with them. So here, David HaMelech confirms that he's so committed to Hashem, that tovasi ba'alecha, I recognize that all my good comes from Hashem, and from nowhere else, and that omarti l'Hashem, Hashem ata, that you are my God, so much so that he's so confident in his trust in Hashem, he is so confident in Hashem that he will distance himself from any association. He won't even say the names of other gods. Attention confers legitimacy. He won't even do that. He is so far removed. That's how much he has faith in Hashem. He doesn't have plan B. Plan A is Hashem, and that is it. There is no backup. Then you go to verse Hey, which is Hashem minas chalki v'chosi. Hashem is my allotted portion. He is my share. Ata tomech gorali. Now, there are two ways to translate Ata Tomech Gorali, and they're exact opposites. One way to translate Ata Tomech Gorali, you guide my destiny. That's what Rashi says. Hashem guides my destiny. And Rashi says, like a parent that loves one of his children, and he points to a good decision, the Omer, Ata Ezze Bochar Lecha, choose this. That's what Hashem does. Hashem guides our destiny, meaning we have free will. It's up to us to do what we want to do. But Hashem, like, gives us a choice, and he really recommends certain choices. That's like the verse says, Hashem says in Devarim, I've given you life and death. Choose life. Bukhart is Hachayim. You can do whatever you want, but I'm just advising you what the right thing to do is. So that's Rashi. That you guide my destiny. I have free will, but you recommend what's best for me. Now, the second reading has grave theological consequences because it's the exact opposite. And that is to translate the verse as Ata Tomech Gorali, you control my fate. It est, we have no free will. Now, Rabbi Nassan, who was the main student of Rabbi Nachman, said that Gorali comes from the language of Goral. What's a Goral? It's a lottery. Rabbi Nassan says, we never know anything about the lottery. It's beyond us. We can't say anything for certain about a lottery. And Rabbi Nassim says, how we reconcile our free will is also, we can't say anything about it. We don't know. It's beyond us. But we know that we have it. So kind of like Rav Lichtenstein said that, like, it's not necessary to answer questions in as much as it is to learn how to live with these questions. Rav Lichtenstein said that's what he learned from his rabbis. So, okay, so we don't really understand how to reconcile the fact that this verse might indicate that we don't have free will, but it also indicates that we do have free will, and that's okay. We'll learn how to live with that question. That was his idea. This kind of reminds me, I was one time told by Rabbi David Aaron, he said that Judaism's it's a choice. It's not a conclusion. Meaning you're never going to come to that conclusion where you know every single factor and then you can come to weigh and make a decision. No, it's a choice that you decide to opt into. That's like there's a story about there were maskilim. There were people who were part of the movement of the Enlightenment. And they decided, you know, there's this whole yeshiva system, specifically Volozhin Yeshiva. What's it all about? Why are people so obsessed with it? So they decided we're going to write a list of every single question that we have about Torah and about Judaism, about Emunah and about God. And we're going to have one of our men go to Volozhin, learn there for a few months, and find all the answers. So they had one guy, they drew lots, they had one guy who lost the lots. He ends up in Volozhin Yeshiva for a few months with this big list of questions to answer. And he comes back to Berlin after a few months, and they say, did you get the answers? And he said, no, but I don't really care. Like, Volozhin's just say, the Gemara's so great, I don't, Torah's so great, Halacha's so great, I don't need the answers, I'm over it. Okay, then we get into verse Vav. That flew by quick. 25 minutes, wow. I mean, we still, okay, wow. I think we'll finish. Verse Vav, Chavolim naflu li ban imim af nachalos shafra alai, which is translated as, an inheritance of good has delightfully fallen on me. Indeed, what I have is lovely. David Melech is saying, like, blessings are falling into my lap. Why? Ki chasisilach, because I hope in you. And because Baal Asich Niskan Midam, and because I won't worship any other gods, naturally, good things are happening to me. David HaMelech is saying that if you believe in Hashem, good things happen. That's like the verse in Kohelet says, Shomer Mitzvah Lo Yedar Davara, that if you keep the Torah, you won't know anything bad. Now, as we said before, like, on what basis would we believe that? So as Rochalea said, well, the hostages believed in Hashem, and they did not experience good things in these tunnels. And if they could believe in Hashem, then I could believe in Hashem, and that good things happen. And David HaMelech, who was a lot smarter than us, who struggled a lot more than us, David HaMelech had a very hard life. The third chapter of Tehillim says, Mo Rabu Tzarai, how great are my enemies? Rabim Kamu Alai, so many people attack me. And still, David HaMelech said that all of these blessings keep falling in my lap. So if David HaMelech, who did not have an easy life, and he said that he had a lot of enemies, a lot of struggles, a lot of obstacles. He said, Palatsis to Silvivini, terror and death and horror envelop me. And still, he says, blessings are falling in my lap. So we could also find blessings in our lives as well. If I have time, I'll go back to that verse. There's more on it, but I'm going to be cut off in 10. Actually, I'll quickly say one more thing. Now, how do you reconcile King David in chapter 3 and King David all over Tehillim, where he says about how much he's struggling, where he says how hard life is, with this verse where he says, blessings are falling into my lap. So Rabbi Nachman has an idea. He says, you have to be bucky, you have to be fluent, berotzo v'shov. You have to be fluent in your ability to ascend and descend, meaning be present in whatever struggle you have. So sometimes you're on an up, sometimes you see all the blessings falling into your lap, and sometimes you're on a down. Sometimes things are not working your way. But to recognize, okay, Zela Uma Ze Asa Alekim, this and that Hashem made, and I recognize that in the end of the day, Hashem is throwing blessing into my life, and I'm going to acknowledge that. Okay, now we'll go to the next verse. Avarich es Hashem Asher Yotzani. I will make a bracha to Hashem. I will praise Hashem because He has guided me. Af Leilos Yisruni Chil Yosai. Even on the nights in which my conscience would admonish me. So David HaMelech is saying that even in nights, which is when life is dark, when things are unclear, at a time when David HaMelech's own inner consciousness was going against him, at a time when he was repulsed by himself, still Hashem guided him, Hashem supported him. Even in the hard times, even at night, that's like in Tehillim Mem Aleph, in the 41st chapter of Tehillim, the first verse says, Ashrei Maskil El Dal, praiseworthy is the person that looks over the Dal, looks over the weak, B'yom Ra'a Yemalteu Hashem. On a bad day, Hashem will protect him. Hashem will save him. So there, King David is saying, even the person that looks over the weak, even that very righteous person, he's going to have bad days. And on that day, Hashem will protect him. But don't think that you're immune from any bad thing in life. Don't think that you could barricade yourself from anything bad in life. It's going to happen. It could happen. But Hashem will protect us on those days. So I will have those nights. But on those nights, Asher Yuatzani, Hashem will guide me. Okay, then we have verse Ches, which is Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. I set Hashem always before me. Ki mimini balemot. On my right hand, I won't stumble. So there's a... We can go down like a rabbit hole, like a doom scroll for this verse. There's a lot there. So we'll just share a few ideas. One is that the Ramah opens up the Shulchan Aruch with this verse of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, that I place Hashem before me at all times. And what the Ramah says is that at all times, whether we're in public or we're in private, whether we're on a bus or on a plane or on a train, wherever we are, we should be aware of Hashem's presence wherever we go, wherever we are. And the Mikubalim, the Kabbalists, have meditations on this verse, where they would repeat it a lot, or they'd look at slips of paper that say this verse, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. There was, in the Volozhin Yeshiva, there was like a small clandestine movement of maskilim, and they were cracking down on these maskilim, they were cracking down on these people that were a shtickle heretical. And one of the ways they cracked down on these people is they would notice that these maskilim, under their gemaras, they'd have heretical works, or they'd have academic works. And somebody noticed that Rabbi Cook, the first chief rabbi of Israel, kept looking under his Gemara. He kept looking under his Shtender. So they thought, okay, maybe he's one of the Maskilim. So when he wasn't there, they looked through his stuff and they found a note that said, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. It said that, I set Hashem always before me at all times. And that was what Rav Cook kept looking at throughout his day. He was meditating on this verse, on this piece of paper. Okay, now we'll go to the next verse, which is psychosomatic. It's Lochein Somach Libi, Vayoga Kavodi, Af Besori Yishko Navetach. That therefore my heart will be happy and my pulse will beat. Af Besori Yishko Navetach. And my entire being will be secure. So David HaMelech is saying, I'm in a good place. Why? I place Hashem before me at all times. I feel that internally, and that's manifest externally. Because David HaMelech had such emunah on Hashem, it was obvious on the outside. That's like, there's a verse, Chachmas Adam Tayir Panav, that comes up in Kohelis, which means that intelligence illuminates a person's face. And it's kind of like, you know, you could tell when somebody's smart, it's like in their eyes. So it's the same thing. Somebody with emunah, it's an internal thing, but it's mispashate, it spreads externally. And that's what David HaMelech is expressing here. Because Hashem was with him at all times, he's feeling good. Okay, then we'll go to the next verse, which is Ki Lo Sazov Nafshi Lishol. That Hashem, you won't abandon me to Sheol, which is hell. Excuse my French. Lo sitein chasidcha lira shachas. You won't let your faithful one see the pit. Meaning, you won't let me descend downwards. Then David HaMelech says, Todieni orachayim sova smachos espanecha. Teach me the path of life with overflowing joy in your presence. Ne'imos b'mincha netzach. With everlasting delight in your hand. So Rav Lichtenstein said that on his bad days, all these great works that he loved, like Homer, Epictetus, Sophocles, that didn't provide him the requisite solace he needed. But what did? His emunah in Hashem, his faith in his Rebbeim, his faith in Hashem through seeing his Rebbeim's faith in Hashem. So David HaMelech here is saying, Hashem won't let me descend to the pit, and instead he will provide me joy, he will provide me everlasting delight. And how do I know this? Through the tzaddikim of prior generations that saw this happen to them.